I'm at a disadvantage here because I can't talk unless I got both hands going. So if it's all right with you, can everybody hear me? Can I just talk and not have to hold this thing? Is that all right? Great. It's a pleasure to be with you today. It really is home away from home in so many ways. I walked in this morning and the year of the gift. Now, I have no idea what you guys were talking about, year of the gift, but I just started thinking about the gift. And the first thing that came to me was the gift of eternal life. God has given us eternal life. And I thought about the gift of Jesus Christ, how he's given us the gift of Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but my life is so good. It is so good. I'm so grateful. What a gift God has given us just in the lives that we have each and every day. And then I began to think about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. My goodness, my goodness. God, you are so good. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us gifts. And then I began to think about, what am I supposed to be doing here today? And I thought, oh no. My group came in this morning and they said, there must be a man in this church. They looked at this wall over here. On our wall at home, we have something very similar to this. We have experience God's presence. That's how our little strategy starts. Yeah, we are firm believers in the Word of God in our church. We believe that the Word of God is the power of God. Oh, hallelujah. We believe that every person that comes to our church needs to experience God's love for themselves personally. Yeah. And we try to train people. I need to rebuke myself here. We train people, thank you, to live God's purpose. And God's purpose is so very simple. It's so very clear. It's to receive His love. It's to receive His gifts and live a life that overflows in such a way that somebody else says, hey, I don't know what you got, but I want some of that. Yeah, amen. Amen? And this morning, I want to talk to you about another gift. And it's the gift that is so vital to live the kind of life that God has called each one of us to live. And Jesus said it this way in Mark chapter 11. I'm going to start in verse 22. Mark chapter 11 and 22. Here's what Jesus said. He said, have faith in God. Yeah. Now, you know, there's a problem with that because we don't speak Jew, Hebrew. We don't speak Greek, which is what the New Testament was written in. We speak a language that's 2,000 years later and thousands and hundreds of thousands of light years away, different in culture. And it's important to really understand what he was saying here. Now, I want to let you know that if you are alive, everybody in here alive today, check your neighbor. Are they alive? Yeah, are you sure? Give them an elbow, and if they don't move, we better pray for them. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, if you are alive, if you are here today, God has given you a gift. He has given you the measure of faith. He didn't have to work it up. You didn't have to do anything. If you are alive, you have the measure of faith. It is a gift from God. And according to Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the just shall live by faith. According to Hebrews chapter 11, it's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith. So we need to understand what faith is, because faith is the commodity of the kingdom system. Yes, money is the commodity of the world system. Now, the world system sucks. Can I say that in this church? Is that all right? Yeah, I already did. Okay. And why? Because the world system is all about who I can climb on top of to get what I want. It's all about me. It's all about self. It's all about getting. It's all about greed. It's all about money. My wife and I like to watch these mystery detective. Thank you very much. I need help. You know that. And a couple of these shows, one of the, not the main character, but one of the secondary characters, in both of these shows, They always say, follow the money. And man, I want to tell you what, that's how I think. I think when somebody wants something from me, I always want to know, what's it going to cost me? You want something from me, first thing I want to know is what it's going to cost me. What the world is all about is money. But what the kingdom is all about is faith. You see, in the kingdom, the commodity is faith. In the kingdom, everything works based upon faith, unlike the world where everything works on money. That's why Jesus said, have faith in God. He goes on to say, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Man, that sounds pretty good to me. How about you? I like that. Yeah. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Oh yeah, I like that. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about faith. I thought we were talking about how to get stuff. I want to tell you something. Faith is not about getting stuff. Faith is about living a kingdom life. And in the kingdom, relationships are more important than stuff. Now, I want to tell you the truth. I already know there isn't anybody in here, including the Holy Ghost, that I'm going to agree with on every detail. I can already tell you right now that whatever your position is, I probably have a different one. I can already tell you that I think I'm right. Yeah. And if I wasn't right, I would change so that I was right. Oh, yeah. And there's only one person that I know of that I just say, you're right, and I'm wrong, and it ain't you. Even God, I don't agree with God on everything. Can you believe that? That means I need some growing. I need some changing. I need to start living God's kind of life. I need to live a life of faith because I don't totally understand everything that's around me. Jesus says right here, that faith is about living the God kind of life. In fact, some guys say when he said, have faith in God, they think that it actually meant have the God kind of faith. Yeah. And here's the God kind of faith. Not that you can call gold bricks down from heaven, although if any of you can, I need a few of them. Here's the God kind of faith that a ducat can get along with a wildcat. That's the God kind of faith. His Arizona Wildcats beat my Oregon Ducks pretty bad this year. But when a wildcat can get along with a duck, see, that's a God kind of faith. And that's what he's talking about here. The relationship's more important than who's right and who's wrong. The relationship's more important than who's got the money and who don't. The relationship's more important than what kind of car you drive or what kind of house you live in or what language you speak or where you're from or who your mama is or who your daddy is. The relationship's the most important thing. And you see, God expects that you and I can figure out how to get along with one another. And going back to those gifts for just a second, the fourth gift of the Holy Spirit is something called long-suffering. And here's what long-suffering's all about. It's putting up with each other. I want to tell you right now, married couple, congratulations. I want to pray a blessing on you right now. In the name of Jesus, be blessed coming in. Be blessed going out. Yeah. Be blessed in everything you put your hands to. Yeah. But be blessed with some long suffering. Because there's going to be a day, not too distant future, where you're going to look at each other and go, ah! What did I do? Who is this person? And that's when we need the gift of long suffering. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. He says, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Can I tell you the truth? The real thing I need faith for is to put up with you. And the real thing you need faith for is to put up with me. Yeah. My people know about that. Now, the point that I would really like to make today is Jesus said, have faith in God. Can't have faith in our faith. Can't have faith in our resources. Can't have faith in our understanding. Can't have faith in our ability. We must have faith in God. Yeah. Faith requires an object, and the object of our faith has to be God. So that's the first point I really want to make. Let us make sure that we understand that our faith has to be in the person of Jesus Christ. Because if it's any place else, it's not faith and it doesn't work. Now I'm going to say something that's probably going to upset some people here. That's a good thing to me. Because if I can make you mad, then I can get you glad. And here's what I'm going to say. Faith is not believing. See, it's not what you believe that matters. It's what you have faith in that matters. Now I want to point this out to you. According to James chapter 2, don't turn there because I'm going to jump around a little bit. Verse 19, James says, you believe, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. So you see, faith's not believing because even the demons believe. Now we have to believe, but faith is not believing. He goes on to say, do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? See, faith is an action. It's not a belief. It's an action. In Romans chapter 2, Paul writes the same thing. He says, it's not the hearers that are justified in the sight of God, but it is the doers that are justified. See, faith is an action. Romans 1 and 16 says it this way, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek, or the Gentile. For in it, in the word of God, righteousness, the righteousness, not your righteousness, but his righteousness, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Now, I love this scripture because there's so many ways that we can read this scripture. And the way it starts out with me is that the righteousness of God was first revealed to me from God's faith point of view to my faith point of view. And then it goes to the next level where I can grow from one level of faith in God to another level of faith in God to another level of faith in God to another level of faith in God. And see, at each level of faith, there's a higher level of righteousness. Now, I'm really big on definitions because I don't know what most words mean. I was sharing with my son about this guy that I heard speak a couple of years ago. I needed a dictionary to understand what he was talking about. You know what I mean? And so I like definitions so we know what we're talking about. Here's my definition for righteousness. God's way of doing things. And I tell you this right now, I need to grow in learning about God's way of doing things. And that's what he's talking about here, that his way of doing things is revealed to us from his level of faith to our level of faith, and then he expects us to grow from one level of faith to the next level of faith to the next level of faith. Amen. And then here's the whole point of it. It says the just shall live by faith. And so that's kingdom living. In the kingdom, we live by faith. In the world, you live with money. In the kingdom, we live by faith. And I want to tell you something. Faith supersedes money. Now, we were in Israel. My wife's Jewish, so we went to Israel. What a mistake taking this girl to Israel. Now she wants to go back all the time. Oh, my goodness. But we were in Israel. We went to a hotel or something, and they had a Bible study up on the top floor. And we thought, oh, we'll go to this Bible study and see what it's like. And there was about 10 or 12 people, and the guy was leading the Bible study. And the guy was an American, it was funny, but he had all these Jewish kids in this Bible study. And one of the girls said, in our language, meaning in Hebrew, the word that we translate faith, they translate trust. Well, that changes the meaning just a little bit, doesn't it? Now, I really like to know what words mean because I like to know what people are saying. How many of you think God used the exact word that he wanted used in every situation in the scripture? I do. I think God knows the meanings of words. I think God knows what he wants to say, even if I don't quite understand it. So I like dictionaries that explain what words mean. And one of the dictionaries I use is called Strong's. And according to Strong's, the word that's translated faith means three things. It means conviction of truth, it means reliance on God, it means constancy in that conviction and reliance. That means that we live the same based upon that conviction and that reliance. Other guy I like is Vines, and his dictionary says that Greek word that we translate faith means three things. Full acknowledgement of God and truth. Full acknowledgement of God and truth. Do I even have the capacity to fully acknowledge this unlimited God? Do I even have the capacity to grab a hold of His unlimited truth? I must have, because the Bible says I do. Acknowledgement of God and His truth. Personal surrender to God. Oh, that sounds like fun. And conduct inspired by that acknowledgement and surrender. What's my point here? My point is faith is an action. It's not a belief. I have my own definition, of course, for everything. Here's my definition for faith. Trust God, rely on God, obey God. So I want to talk to you about those three actions of faith this morning. And the first action of faith is trusting God. Now I'm going to ask a loaded question. You have to be careful with me. How many of you believe there is a God? People are going, what's this guy doing? I don't know. Well, just because you believe there's a God, that's not what the Bible means when it says believe in God. I mean, you know people right now that would just soon spit in God's face as look at Him, and they believe there's a God. You know people that aren't living God's way, and they believe there's a God. You know that there are people that say they're agnostic. That means they believe in God, but they don't know what to believe. And then there are those people that lie to you and say they're atheists, meaning they don't believe in God. I have never met anybody that didn't believe in God. Now, the atheist usually thinks they're God, but everybody believes in something that is bigger or greater than themselves. But see, that's not what the Bible word means, believe God. What the Bible word that means, the Bible word that believe means to acknowledge something as truth and then to change your behavior to line up with that truth. So if you believe that there is a God, biblically speaking, that means you have to acknowledge that God is, when they say God, according to the dictionary that's attached to my little computer here, there's three parts to the definition of God. God has to be all-knowing. God has to be all-powerful. Let's see, all-knowing, all-powerful. What else is there? He has to be a creator. Yeah. So if he's not the creator, he's not God. If he doesn't know everything, he's not God. If he doesn't have the power to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, can't be God. Wow. So that eliminates all the so-called gods of this world because, I mean, they didn't create everything, so they can't be God. Or they don't have the power to change anything, can't be God. Or they don't know everything, can't be God. So we have to acknowledge this truth that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and the creator of everything that exists. And then we need to change our behavior to line up with that. That's what the word believe is. So if you say, I believe in God, I want to ask you a question. Has your behavior changed to acknowledge that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and the creator of everything? If we use that definition, there's a lot of people that say they believe that don't really believe. What are we talking about? We're talking about a lifestyle. How do you live? And the only way to live acknowledging that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and the creator of everything is to live a life of faith. The first action of faith is to trust. If God is all-knowing, if He is all-powerful, if He's the creator of everything, guess what? We can trust Him. One of my favorite scriptures comes from Malachi chapter 3, and this is the Lord speaking. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change. You know what's the most comforting thing about that to me? Is if God doesn't change, that means I can count on Him. Whatever He said to me, I can count on that. I don't have to guess if He's song and dancing me like most people do. I don't have to guess if He's evangelistically speaking. I don't have to guess if He really meant what He said. If He said something to me, I can count on it. Amen. The next part of that scripture goes like this. He says, I am the Lord, I do not change, therefore you are not consumed. What's he saying? He's saying because he's God, because he has already decided that he loves us, because he's already made us in his image, because he's already written in heaven, in the libraries, a book with your entire life written out in it. He's already decided when you blow it today, when you blow it tomorrow, when you sin tomorrow or next week or the week after, he's got a plan to cover it. And because he's already decided he's going to cover it for you, even when you blow it, he does not consume you nor destroy you. God's not mad. God's glad. He got a plan for your life. And his plan for your life, whether you're a duck or a wildcat, whether you're black, white, green, purple, yellow, gold, whatever, no matter where you're from, no matter what you like, no matter what, God's got a plan for your life, and his plan for your life is to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. And he's glad about it. He's not mad about it. So, the first action of faith is trusting God. And we can trust God because he doesn't change. Can you think of anybody else that you can say that about? Can you think of anybody else that has never disappointed you? I know somebody in here thought, well, I could think of somebody that's never disappointed me. And here's what I want to say to you. Whoever you are, right now, here's what I want to say to you. You haven't known that person long enough. The second action of faith is reliance. Now, how many of you used the word reliance in a sentence this week? Yeah, that's what I thought. We don't rely on stuff, do we? We don't rely on people anymore. Why? Because we've all been disappointed. We don't rely on our telephones anymore. Why? Because the internet always goes off or the thing doesn't work right or something goes crazy. You know what I'm talking about. We don't rely on our jobs anymore. Why? Because who knows what's up with that? We don't rely on things anymore, but we can rely on God. We can depend on God. Why? Because he never changes. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10, God is speaking, and he says, who among you fears the Lord? That's not a very comfortable question, is it? Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? What's he saying? That if we don't fear the Lord, that if we don't obey the voice of his servant, that we're walking in darkness and we don't have any light. That's what he's saying. He says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. So I already know there's somebody in here today that's in a situation where you got something going on and you don't know what the answer is. And it's not some small thing like your phone's not working. I already sense that person's in here, and whoever you are, I want to talk to you for just a second. You can depend on, you can rely on God to come through for you. Now, I want to tell you the truth. He ain't going to come through for you the way you want him to. He ain't going to come through for you the way you're trying to tell him to. He's going to come through the way he's already decided from before he made you, before the foundation of the world. He already knows what the problem is. He already knows what the answer is. And he will come through for you if you put the second action of faith into action in your life, that you're going to rely on him. That means you're going to let him make it happen. That means you're not going to do anything unless he says to do it. That means you're going to expect that God's got it all figured out, which means you don't have to. That means you're not going to have to call up the bank, the realtor, the neighbor, the whoever, the counselor, whatever it is. You don't have to rely on man. You can rely on God because God's going to come through for you. That's the second action of faith. Here's a little story to help you understand this. It comes from 2 Chronicles 16. I'm going to start in verse 7. And it says, at that time, the Haggai, the seer, we don't use that word seer, that was a prophet. The Haggai, the prophet, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Assyria has escaped your hand. He went on to say, were the Ethiopians and the Elgais not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. I don't know what you're facing today, and it doesn't matter what it is. If you try to figure it out, if you try to take care of it, if you try to make it happen, God's just going to step back and say, go ahead. But if you rely on the Lord in whatever that situation might be, He'll just step forward and say, son, just stay right there. Daughter, right there. I got this. It may be impossible for you, but there's nothing that is impossible for me. Rely on me. You can count on me because I am the Lord your God. I do not change. Now, I want to tell you something else here. You got to be careful with this God we serve. He's got one speed, and that's full speed ahead. He's got one plan, and that's to bless. Here's what he says will happen to you if you start relying on him instead of relying on yourself or the bank or the world system or whatever it is you've been relying on. Here's what he says. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. I don't know about you, but if God says to me, I want to show myself strong on your behalf, you know what my first response to that is? Go ahead! Yeah! Like some of that! We're talking about the God that is all-powerful. That's what God means, all-powerful. All-powerful. And He wants to show Himself strong on my behalf. How do you get that? Rely on Him, the second action of faith. The third action of faith is obey God. This is everybody's favorite part, right? Well, I see that I need to build some faith in y'all because I only had two people say, yeah, that's me. So I'm just going to read you some scripture here because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. 1 Samuel 15 and 22, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord God? That's called a rhetorical question. In other words, he's not looking for an answer. He already knows the answer. Does God care as much about your sacrifice as he does you doing what he says? The obvious answer to that is no. So what's the implication? Here's the implication. God not really interested in what I can do. He's just interested in me being obedient. I don't know about you, but that takes all the pressure off. Here's the problem that men have, meaning all of mankind, is we're performance oriented. What does that mean? That means that if I can be good enough, do good enough, act good enough, people will love me and accept me. And you guys are all kind of going, what? Check it out. It works in two different ways. You have the overachievers that everything is, you know, got to get the grade, got to get the grade, got to get the grade. Know anybody like that? Oh, yeah. My poor son lived with a couple of performance-oriented people, and I have to keep telling him, I talk to him every couple of weeks, I have to keep telling him, it's not what you can do. It's who you are. It's not what you can do. It's who you are. You can't perform your way into God's love. You can't perform your way into God's grace. He just wants to give it to you because of who you are. Because, see, God is relationship-oriented, and man, that is a good thing. Because if God was performance-oriented, we would all be burnt toast, right? But God is relationship-oriented. It's not based upon what you do. It's based upon who you are. Who are you? You are a child of the Most High God. And because you are a child of the Most High God, that means that you have the full rights and the full privileges of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ Himself. Do you realize that you are seated right now in heavenly places with the full rights, the full privileges that Jesus has? We are joint heirs, it says, with Jesus Christ. That means that everything He owns is on us. How do we get that? Well, you certainly didn't earn it. You certainly couldn't earn it. You couldn't have gone to the cross for me. Ours is down here, yeah. But Jesus did. And when He did, He took it all back. He took it all back. But He didn't keep it for Himself. He said that we are joint heirs with Jesus. How do we get that? We inherit it. Has anybody in here got an inheritance?
Yeah, I like it.
You like inheritance?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I like inheritance too. Did you earn that inheritance?
No.
How did you get that inheritance?
By being who you are.
And I want to tell you, just because you're a child of God. Oh man.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Jesus.
He goes on to say, behold, to obey is better than to sacrifice. I want to tell you something about God. God asks you to do anything. Anything at all. Anything he tells you to do. At the moment he says, Barb, do it! Even if she couldn't do it right up to that moment, at that moment she has every skill, every talent, every ability, and every resource necessary to do what God just said to do. Because God is just and he would never ask us to do something that we couldn't do. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. In Acts 5:29 says, Peter and the other apostles answered the leaders and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
In Acts 5:32, it says, and we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Do you realize that the gift of the Holy Spirit, oh man, is given to those who obey him? You know, one of the funniest things in the world is I'm kind of an intellect, or at least I process things through my intellect. And so God uses something that goes completely against who I am and the way I think about things and the way I work to let me know that he's God and I'm not. It's called praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, it makes absolutely no sense to my mind. You know that even after 30 years of praying in the Holy Ghost, and I probably pray in the Holy Ghost more than any of you, with possible exception of Barbara. But I don't know about that. There are still days I just go, man, that just is like makes no sense whatsoever. But how do we get the Holy Ghost? We obey him. How do we get the Holy Ghost to operate in our life? We obey him when it doesn't make any sense at all to our natural way of thinking. He goes on to say in Hebrews 3:18, and to whom was it that he swore they would never enter his rest? This is a great chapter. Because what this chapter says is that whatever's going on with life, we can come to a place of resting in him, which is actually trusting him with everything, relying on him for everything. And who didn't enter that place of rest? It says right here, those who were disobedient. Do you know that God doesn't want you stressed out? You know God doesn't want you freaked out? You know that God doesn't want you anxious for anything? Not any big thing and not any little thing. He wants you trusting him for everything.
Yes.
He wants you relying on him for everything. And to trust him, to rely on him, requires us to obey him in everything, because obedience is the third action of faith. It says, and we have been perfected or made mature because he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. You see, in our zeal to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ, we have done a lot of people a disservice. We said all you have to do is believe. And so there's a lot of people running around out there thinking, well, you know, I believed in third grade. I believe in God. I'm not doing anything that I'm supposed to be doing, but I believe in God, so I'm okay. That's not true. We're okay with God when we do what he says. We're okay with God when we forgive those who have been unrighteous to us, who have hurt us. We're okay with God when we do stuff like come to church and listen to some guy that doesn't make any sense at all talk for an hour. We are okay with God when we spend time in the Word with him every day. We are okay with God when we pray with him every day. We are okay with God when we totally blow it and say, Father, I sinned. I'm wrong. You're right. Please forgive me. We are okay with God when we do what he says. And that's what it says right here. Hebrews 11:8 says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham obeyed. Now hold on to your hats here, because Abraham did something that I'll bet you none of us would do. Listen to this. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Hey, that's hard on all of it, not just the intellect. Brother, I don't know your name. What's your name?
Vinny? Mother, brother Vinny?
Vinny.
That's not what I said?
Lager Brau
Vinny, yes. I'm mixing two metaphors. Vinny, I'm going to pretend I'm God for just a minute. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up, and I want you to go, and I'm not going to tell you where you're going until you get out the door. And I'm not going to tell you to get out the door. I'm just going to tell you each step of the way, right, left, straight, back. You ready?
Yeah, right, brother.
First question that comes into my mind, what about my family? What about my house? What about my job? How am I going to eat?
Yeah.
What am I going to do when I get there? Abraham got up, got out of his house, got away from his family. He went someplace where he didn't know he was going. How did he do that? By faith. What's the action of faith? Yeah. Obedience. Yeah. 1 Peter 1 and 2 says, since you have purified your souls by obeying the truth. You know, one of the problems with reading the Word of God is that the Word of God thinks differently than you and I do. And I have read this thing cover to cover. We read it about once a year. I've read it at least every year for 30 years cover to cover, and I think I've read it more than that. And you know, every time I read this thing, the Lord's saying, son, you don't have something quite right here. You need to make an adjustment here. That ever happen to you? Oh man, that should be happening to you all the time. Make an adjustment here. Yeah, don't have that one quite right. Make an adjustment here. Don't have that quite right. Make an adjustment here. We have to obey the truth. 1 Peter 4, 7 says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Hey, can we just be honest for a minute? There's some people that ain't going to make it. And I want to tell you, that breaks God's heart. It's His will that all men, be born again, be filled with the Holy Ghost, be discipled, be healed, be set free, grow by the power of the Holy Ghost to the place of maturity so that God can set them as sons in charge of the family business. That's God's will for every man, for every woman, for every child, but you already know some aren't going to make it. Why? Because they do not obey the truth. What am I trying to say? Here's what I'm really trying to say. It comes from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering, it's kindness, it's goodness, it's faithfulness, it's gentleness. Now, you already know that I need definitions for everything. And I always had a problem with this word gentleness. Because there's many things that I am, and there's a few things that I am not. Gentle is one of those things that I'm not. I'm not a little lambkin. Don't come up and try to rub my head. Don't touch my face. You might get some of these up. That word gentle there, when you look it up in the original language, what that means, that word means, is this. Obey God without resistance. Now, I want to tell you something. That's easy to say. I don't like going on missions trips if I have to preach. And every missions trip I go on, I have to preach. And you know why I don't like going on missions trips because I have to preach? Because I'm always in fear and trembling about what I'm about to say. I know me. You don't. I can say stuff. Have to ask my wife. When she starts trying to climb under the chair, I know I've said something I shouldn't have. And so I have a trepidation about preaching the word to people. I'm not comfortable outside of my own church. For a month, I've been praying about this thing, and my prayer goes something like this. Jesus, help me! Oh God, not again! Oh no! Or something like that. And then it usually gets around to, okay, God, I can't get out of it. You won't let me off of this. I got to preach 7 times this week. What do you want me to preach about? And, you know, wouldn't it really be nice if he just, you know, the scroll rolled down from heaven and there it was, you know, point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for each service. And, you know, wouldn't it even be better if he said, oh, Terry's going to preach and then Barb's going to preach. Oh, yeah. Nah, that's not how it works. I wish God gave me the full story. My friend Nick over there, if you ask him a question, he's kind of like Eric. And what does that mean? That means that if you ask him a question, you better be prepared to listen for a while because they can talk for a while. Here's how God answers me. One word. He says one word to me. And I've been asking him every day for a month, and he just says one word. He says, healing. I said, we're in Phoenix at some place, and they have the breakfast in the hotel thing, right? And you know how that breakfast in the hotel thing works, right? They put four tables out for 200 people, right? You been there? And so I'm sitting there drinking my coffee, and in the morning until I've had coffee, I'm not a good person to be around because I'm just kind of... So I'm trying to like this, and this big guy comes over and sits down, and he kind of does this. Is anybody sitting there? What are you going to say to that? You know what I'm talking about? And he sits down, and the first thing out of his mouth is, "Oh, my knee. I had surgery on this one, but this one's killing me." I thought my heart was going to jump out of my chest because I was... The words were coming up in my throat. Don't say that! What are we talking about? We're talking about gentleness. Obeying God without resistance. I know God wanted me to pray for that guy right there in that whole crowd of people. And while I'm wrestling with God, I missed my opportunity. I want to tell you, it's easy to say, yeah, I'll do what God says. But until you are standing at the doorway of the furnace... looking into the fire and getting your hair singed, you don't know whether you're going to obey God or not. I want to tell you what God's looking for is a people that are willing to obey without resistance. That when he says pray, you'll pray. When he says witness, you'll witness. When he says shut up, you shut up. Does God say shut up? I don't know about you, but he says shut up to me all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Gentleness. Obeying God without resistance. He says it a different way in Philippians chapter 4. This is absolutely one of my favorite scriptures because it says this in Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. What was that?
Again.
You know what the experts say? The experts say that you have to hear something seven times before it penetrates the fog and you even have the ability to pay attention to what's being said. Think about that. The Lord says to rejoice! And again I say, rejoice! And all of you guys are going, let me out of here! And then he says something that never made any sense to me at all. He says, let your gentleness be known to all men. What's he saying? He's saying, let your obedience without resistance be known to all men. How do we do that? We rejoice in every situation. Three actions to faith. Trust God. Rely on God. Obey Him. So here's my action of faith today. I was sitting here during worship or standing here during worship today. And the Lord said there's somebody in this place that needs healing and they need deep healing. Not a physical healing, but a healing of their heart. And I don't know who you are, but here's what I know. Something's happened to you just recently that has really hurt your heart. And if you don't get healed, it's going to mess up all kinds of things in your life. But here's what I know, that no matter what it is, that God can heal a broken heart. Jesus, one of the first things he did was he went into the synagogue, they handed him the scroll, he opened the scroll to Isaiah, and he says, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. I've come to heal the brokenhearted. Now, we've all had brokenhearted experiences. But I want to tell you, the broken heart has to be healed before everything else starts working the way God intends for it to work. So if you're with me today and that's you, Bill, get up here. I want to pray for you. Yeah, you, glasses, sitting back there. Bill, yeah, here. And while Bill's coming up here, if there's anybody else in here that's really had just kind of that, something's happened to them and it's really hurt your heart, I want to pray for you today. I know your heart's really been hurt, brother. So Father, I just thank you right now. I just thank you right now that you love Bill, that you love him, and that your love is the most powerful force in the universe. And I just thank you right now. I just feel it coming down like rain. I feel it coming down like sheets. Just the love of God. Just the love of God coming down to heal that broken heart, heal that hurt, to heal that pain. That doesn't mean forget. That just means so that you can think about it without being consumed by pain. And I just thank you right now. Just thank you right now, Lord, for your love flowing like a river, bringing life, health, peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hold some on my mind. Put your hand on your belly, Lord. Hey, sama mande de aku tontoro. There it is. There goes. It's flowing. Hey, shaku. Ko mama mande. Hey, satato shiti. Ora. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on up here, Connie. Terry, I want you to pray for Connie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I know there's somebody else in here I'm supposed to pray for today. Lord. So I don't know who it is yet, so help me out a little bit. We'll pray in spirit. Is that all right? You got very spirit? Come in. My order. You need physical healing right now. My team would like to pray for you. So here's my instruction. If you have faith, if you trust that God is who He says He is, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, if you recognize there's nothing you can do about it, only God, who is the healer, if you're going to rely on Him, put a little obedience to your trust and reliance and come up here right now and receive your healing.
My hands up. It's not works. They're not doing this on their own. They can't do it on their own. This is how God wants to do through us. So join in. Pray right where you're at. Pray in the Spirit. You know this song? Let's work this way. Let's see somebody heal and say, God loves. Hey, son of a bitch. Media, son of a bitch. Bible says if I lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You ready? Yes. Father, I just thank you right now. I curse every bit of allergy, every bit of sickness, every bit of disease, every bit of infirmity. Oh, it goes right now. Right now in the name of Jesus, it goes. It goes right now in the name of Jesus. And healing, healing right now. Power of God is flowing. Healing come right now to Jesus. The healing that Jesus purchased 2,000 years ago right now. Come and remove every bit of allergy, every bit of sickness, every bit of disease. Now, brother, you've got to receive it. The power is there. I feel that power flowing. Just receive it right now down in your spirit. You pray in the Holy Ghost? Okay. Here's the way it works. That power is there. It's there. It's there. Can you feel it down here? Okay. So anytime the allergy stuff come on you, what do you do? Hey, samande, shokonderia, andereria. And that reminds you, Holy Spirit's the guarantee that Jesus is your healer. He paid the price for your allergies, your neck, whatever it is. So anytime we submit ourselves unto God, James chapter 4, verse 7, submit ourselves to God. I am the healed because you are the healer. And we resist the devil, and he must flee. By the way, he's got to take all his allergy garbage with him. Is that alright with you? So when it comes, you just say, no. No. I submit to my God, the healer. Amen.
These folks didn't come here to smell the Arizona flowers and to eat Mexican food in Sonora. God spoke to them to come here and minister to us. So if there's anything in your life that needs help or adjustment, move up here and move across their path, because they've been sent by God. And God will use them to touch you and meet your needs. So please come if you need something.
Thank you, Lord.
I need both hands for this one.
I spent the morning praying in your church, and the power of God came upon me and said, here's the reason you're here this morning, is an impartation. And in Romans, Paul writes in Romans, says, I want to be with you so that I can impart to you a spiritual gift so that you lack nothing. And I went, okay, Lord. And I had no idea what he wanted to impart until just a minute ago. My wife and I went on a vacation a while back, which is unusual for us because our vacations are usually missions trips or something. And one of our leaders, led by the Holy Spirit, called people up to pray for us. And I had at least three people in that time say that God would speak to me on this trip. And one of them said that he would speak to me in the same way that he spoke to Moses in the cleft of the rock. I got on the airplane, and it seemed like 5 minutes later, a 6 or 8 or 9 hour flight was over because God spoke to me the whole time. And here's what he said, that a river of healing was going to flow through Kona Faith Center. It's his will that a river of healing flows through Kona Faith Center. And I say that I'm here today to impart that same river to this congregation. And I want you to hear my words, congregation. Not Calvin, not Barbara, not Fred, not Harry, not Mary, this congregation. And this is the way it really works. You see, it's not one person, because if it was, the Bible wouldn't be true. It's us as a body, as one body, working together that healing flows through that. Now, you're different than our congregation. In our congregation, we need somebody like Nick playing his little guitar and singing. Worshiping, because why? The Bible says God inhabits the praise of his people. And that's why I encouraged you if you knew the song to sing, because we want God to inhabit what's going on here, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
And it's not just whoever's called up to pray for the people, it's us praying together for the people. I had somebody in my congregation come up to me and said, well, I'm not part of the we call it the altar prayer team, but I know that God's called me to pray for people. I have a process for everything. And I said, yeah, oh man, yeah. And so I explained the process. And we don't just let anybody come up and pray. You have to go through all the training and stuff. And I said, in the meantime, when we are praying for people, here's what I want you to do. Right where you're at, right where you're sitting, I want you to pray those words out, those words of faith. Speak them forth. Because it's more important to me that the people get healed than it is to put on our little red shirts and black pants. It's more important to me that people get healed for the glory of God than some man get glory because he was the one praying. You understand what I'm talking about? And I want you to listen to me for just a second. The Bible says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000. Well, if two believers can put 10,000 demons on the run, how many can 50 believers put on the run? Amen. So you see, you're not insignificant. You're important. Amen. You're valuable. Right. You matter. It doesn't matter if you obeyed in Christ or been walking with the Lord for 50 years. What matters is that when somebody's up here getting prayed for, that you give everything that you got so they can get healed. Because see, God responds to what?
Faith.
And I want to tell you the truth. There's people that will come to your altar that don't have enough faith to get healed. Thank God that Jesus showed us in his word that it's not necessarily required for the person that comes to the altar to have faith. How do we know that? Because Jesus walked down to the pool. He walked up to some guy and says, you want to be healed? The guy says, well, I don't have anybody throw me in the water. Are you going to throw me in the water? What did Jesus say? He said, stand up. Pick up your bed and walk. They asked this guy who healed him. He didn't even know who healed him. He didn't know who Jesus was. He got healed. How did he get healed? Because Jesus had what?
Faith.
Because he was 100% man on earth. He is our example. We are to be conformed to his image. I want to tell you, if somebody comes up here, it's God's will that they be healed. Whether they got faith for it or not, And I want to say there's enough faith in this room right now. I don't care what the infirmity is. I don't care what the disease is. I don't care what the problem is. There's enough faith in this room that if somebody came in here with whatever Ebola or whatever the worst thing that could happen to anybody now is, if they came in here now, came up to this altar, there's enough faith in this room for them to walk out whole, healthy, alive, well, full of the Holy Ghost. Right? But it's only as we do it together. So I'm going to have you stand to your feet in honor of the impartation that's on its way. Get your receivers open right now. Here it is. Father, I just thank you that you've sent me here to impart to this body of faith ministry believers right here that a river of healing is going to flow in this place from today forward, and that everybody here has a part to play in that river flowing. Father, we just thank you for it. We receive it right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We're supposed to pray for Peter.
Okay. We're going to pray for Peter.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
So help us out now.
Amen. We'll use our faith with you.
Amen.
Together.
Stand behind us. Hey, guys, ready? One, two, three. Go! Hey, somebody hate my tool. And normal is His plan for your life. And He's restoring you right now. And whatever has hindered you from walking in the fullness of what God has for you has been removed. It's moved. It's gone. It will hinder you no longer. You will walk in the plan of God for your life. You have an anointing. You have authority. You. Restore full rights, full privileges, the full plan of God in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, Shako, full Okay, I don't hear the Lord saying something. Everybody put your hands down. Anybody that feels like they need something broken off of them, right now, just raise your hand. Right now. Right where you're at. Need something broken off of you. Done. In Jesus' name. Broken. Never to return a second time. Broken. Never to return a second time. Broken. Never to return a second time. Broken. 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 Never to return. Never to return. Brother, you are the guy right here. You are the guy right here. God is speaking. There's some stuff that's had you in bondage. It's had you in shackles. That's broken right now. In the name of Jesus. You are free.
That's what I said. Hey, my son. Shit. I just sense the power of God. I just sense the power of God. He loves you so much. He just loves you so much. Just please, I hear him saying, I'm going to love this. I'm going to love this. Hey, son. Hey, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a sense of release. Power of God. Jesus' name. Power of God. Power of God. Sister, yeah. Right there. I just sense power of God flowing right now. Yeah. Yeah. I just sense of power of God right now. Breaking something off. Brother, I have the Lord saying you're not done with you. You still got a thing or two. And you watch it. Is that all right with you? Thank you, Lord. I thank you that you've given my brother a spirit of love. Here's your voice. I thank you. He does hear your voice. This sends strength and a part to the both of them. Just the very power of God. And I just sense that healing flowing and a release in this world. Just healing flowing right now. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you that the river's starting to run strong. It's starting wide. It's starting to run deep in us. Just thank you. Just thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I hear him saying that Lord is precious. And you must be something special. I just hear the Lord saying that you are his eye. That he loves you so much. That he loves you so much. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you. Just thank you. I love you. Strike. Strike.
Please say these words. God is my God. I am his child. And this week, I will take every opportunity to do what he wants me to do. In Jesus' name. We want to thank you so much for participating in this service. Thank you so much for giving a warm welcome to our family from Hawaii. It was a beautiful thing when Eric and Denise got married because we were joined with the family from Hawaii and a family from Obregon. And it's just helped us expand our family. It's just been real sweet to have everyone come. Please be in prayer for us this week, because we're going to Sonora for the week to do the work of the ministry. To do what we need to do to obey God. Amen? So be in prayer with us for our safety and for our good health and our good will. And amen. We'll come home to a good report with a good report. Amen? Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. His face shine upon you. Give about 100 people a big hug and a kiss. And have the best week you ever had. God bless you.